All right, here we go. Ephesians 6. This session and the next session, we're going to be looking at spiritual warfare. We're going to look today at verses 10 to 13, and we'll go from 14 on next time. So I'm just going to read verses 10 to 13. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Let's pray. Father, as we turn to your word, we need your spirit to open it up to us, the treasures that are hidden therein, the things that you have for us to see, learn, understand, and obey. And we ask, Lord, that you would be pleased to bless us tonight as we seek to learn from you. Would you draw near to us now in giving us light and give us grace and give us faith. In Jesus' name, amen. So a call to spiritual warfare, something that is often mentioned, I think seldom understood. We're called to resist the devil. We're supposed to fight the evil rulers and the powers of darkness. That's a biblical command. And that is for both men and women. We are all called to fight the cosmic powers. That seems odd, doesn't it? And we wonder, what does that look like? What does it look like? How do I fight a dominion, a power? We see in the word that these powers that we're talking about here, they are actually powerful. They deceive, they lie, they tempt, of course. But in Job, we get a bit of a bigger glimpse behind the curtain. And we see there that in some cases, definitely not all, but in some cases, the devil causes actual murder to happen. He causes enemies to come and destroy everything in their path, to steal. We see the devil cause a storm, natural disaster. Right? The big wind comes, knocks down the house, kills all the children. The devil did that. He caused a storm. He caused disease, all kinds of suffering. Elsewhere in the word, we read that demons can cause blindness. Right? We see that in the New Testament. Can cause being mute, causing madness, self-mutilation, insanity, and hatred. These are things that demons can sometimes do. Of course, it is all under the authority of God. It is said that the devil is God's devil. He can do nothing apart from what God has allowed. But we get a few examples of what demons have been shown to be able to do. And if they can do that in the physical world, they do that to us, then I wonder, like, what can I do? I can't see them. I can't grasp them. I can't kick them in the shins. And it feels like a little bit like I'm blindfolded and my hands tied behind my back. And I can't do anything, but they can do all kinds of stuff to me. And yet here I have this command. I have this enemy and I'm supposed to defeat him. So we're going to need more info if we're going to understand this. And thankfully, the scriptures give us what we need. So we want to clarify the battlefield a little bit. This is all going to matter like crazy, actually, by the time we're done. We want to clarify the battlefield a little bit. These rulers and authorities, here are some things. Colossians 2, 13 to 16, it says, he disarmed the rulers and authorities, put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. And in John 12, 31, he says, now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. Jesus speaks of his death as a great cosmic exorcism where the devil is cast out. Then after he rises from the dead, Jesus says, all authority has been given to me, not just in heaven, but on earth. Okay, so now we have a little more clarity on the battlefield. So this is them. Boo. What are they? What are we facing? We've seen some of the things that they can do, right? But now we have a little more information. They are defeated. Defense,
Why is it harder to write when you're standing? Can't stand and write at the same time. Defenseless, they have been disarmed. They are humiliated. They are judged. They have been cast out. And they are slaves under the authority of Christ. So we start by looking a little bit at what they have been able to do in the scriptures. And we see all these terrible things. And now we see a little bit of their current status. Okay? All right, so that's them. What about us? Here's our status. 1 John 4:4. Little children, you are from God, and you have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. In Romans 8:37, where it says, now that we are more than conquerors. All right. So this is us, go team. What are we? We are more than conquerors. Once you've conquered, and the enemy has been defeated, what does that make you? What do? Well, then you reign and rejoice, don't you? As Christ triumphed over them, he reigns and rejoices, we are also called to reign and rejoice over these powers. We find out that we are from God. We just read that. Little children, you are from God. We are then set free. We have a greater power. And we are God's children. Okay, now I'm gaining in confidence. This isn't so bad. I still don't know how I'm supposed to fight them. But I like the lay of this battlefield a whole lot better than if I just think about what can demons do. This is how the Bible declares the spiritual battlefield for us. That's the setup. And then God tells us this is the case. Then he says, now you're going to storm the gates of hell and that we're going to conquer. Right? The gates of hell are not going to be able to prevail against us. We are going to conquer. Jesus is going to build his church. I don't know if you ever noticed, but gates are not offensive weapons, they're defensive. That means we are on the offense, and the gates are not going to be able to prevail against our attack. Right? So we are called to be on the offense. We break down the gates, and we plunder, bringing people from darkness to light as we spread the gospel, as the church is established. And so it's looking good for us so far. So Paul tells us, humans, flesh and blood people, men and women, that we're expected to fight spiritual forces, demons, cosmic powers, the devil, evil authorities. And of course, the question is, how do I, just a man, just a woman, fight and defeat a demon, a cosmic power? That seems so foreign, and yet here it is in the Word, a plain instruction that we need to take heed to. We've been told to do it. It's important to God, and it is of importance to us. It's the clear teaching of Scripture. So we want to understand, we want to know what it means. And there's a lot of misconception concerning spiritual warfare because it's an odd topic. And a lot of strange things often get tossed about. You hear people talking of demon possession or demon oppression, ghosts, maybe certain kinds of night terrors, things like that. You hear of dark forces that have taken up residence in a certain house or an object, maybe, that seems to have some sort of evil spirit attached to it. Curses and things in the graveyards and all this stuff. And people talk about exorcisms or maybe anointing houses, casting out demons, trying to find their name or their title so we can cast them out. All kinds of strange tactics. And it gets a little odd. And that's because, of course, the battle is spiritual. And it's hard to reconcile that with the fact that we're flesh and blood. We're not quite sure what to do. We can't see the spiritual world with our physical eyes, so there's a lot of unhelpful speculation that comes in. How am I supposed to fight? What do I do? demons and evil powers are real. They actually are. And so how do I engage in this battle? There's a clear instruction in the word. Do this. So we've learned from 2 Peter that the word gives us all that we need for life and godliness. The word of God is sufficient for every good work. This means we can go there to find our answers. And we have enough to engage in the battle and win. We can fully please God when it comes to fighting the spiritual forces of evil. God has not left us without a means. So in Ephesians 6, we have the Bible's most extensive and clear teaching on spiritual warfare. So we're going to be looking there. We're going to start in verse 13, where it says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." So we start there. First rule of spiritual warfare is that it's spiritual in nature. That sounds obvious, but we can miss that. The strength that we need comes from God. It's his strength and not ours. Now, why is that important? Because God is spirit and his weapons are spiritual, which means, catch this, we can do away with all holy crystals and holy water, things blessed by the Pope and holy relics, miracle spring water, seed money, angel feathers and glory dust, the names of demons or powerful weapons of God that you can buy for 3 low payments of $19.99. We don't need them. We don't need them. And because that is true, in the strength of the Lord, we don't have to fear. We don't have to fear the cursed items or the haunted places, ghosts and apparitions, voodoo dolls, or food sacrificed to idols. All of that can go. In Christ, it has no power over us anymore. It's not that they are not real, but in Christ, in the strength of the Lord and the power of his might, we don't have to fear those things that can be so intimidating. Jesus said, John 12:31, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of the world be cast out." Jesus speaks of his death as this great cosmic exorcism. The power of the devil has been broken. He is now defeated. This is now his lot. Christ is the authority and he reigns in power over all of it. All authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth. That means right here. That means in the scary places of this world, in the dark corners, Christ has authority over all of it. So now we are to live in that power and continue to walk in that victory, continuing to cast out Satan by our good deeds done in faith. We're going to get a lot more on this later and in the next session. The point right now is that we're not to fear, nor are we to be intimidated, but nor are we to rely on our own ideas for engaging in spiritual warfare. That is a bad mistake. This is the reality in Christ. For those who are not in Christ, for the ones who are not strong in the Lord and the strength of his might, it's a very different playing field. So we have been told that he is defeated, disarmed, humiliated, and now we live by the Spirit, and he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. We have power, and we've been called to exercise dominion over the earth and to do so for the glory of God. In Christ, God has called his name to dwell among his people. And among his people, he should be lifted up and glorified in all the earth. There should be holiness and courage and joy and dominion. The glory of God is meant to be displayed to the world, which means it is not to be hidden under a bushel or just carefully curated within the walls of the church building, never to see outside. We are to live as children of the day. We should have confidence. We are told that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. Through the gospel and the establishment of the church, the wisdom of God and his great victory is meant not just to shine a light to the world, but to the cosmic powers and authorities. We are on full display to those powers. And we are tasked with displaying the wisdom of God to them, to continue letting them know that they are that. And in Christ, we are that. That should embolden us and encourage us greatly. Now, we just want to add here, we have already acknowledged that there is such a thing as demonic influence and power in the world. It's not a joke. It's not something you dabble in and trifle with. There is real power there. As we said, to some of the things that we've seen them able to do in Scripture would be frightening were not this true. They are not something to be trifled with, and we don't do it in our own ideas. Their power's not a joke. It's real, and we have to learn how to fight in the might of the Lord. But there is a fight to be had, and we need to know this. If you try to face dark powers outside the strength of the Lord and his might, you're in for a very bad time. We don't fear demonic activity, but without God, you should. Because you consider, in your own power, in my own power, what have I ever done to an evil cosmic power on my own? Nothing. I've done a whole lot of nothing. It's not something you can just mess with. And that's why this verse is so important. God has told us to engage and to fight and expect to win. But the only way we can do that is by his power. And again, this is going to start becoming more clear why this matters to you specifically as a believer and to you specifically as a woman, especially as we get into the next session. But we've got to work through this stuff first. We've got to set the stage. For now, know that we need God's armor and we need God's methods. Nothing else is going to avail. And we can rightly shut down anyone who tries to use man-made methods. Their toys and trinkets shouldn't frighten us or intimidate us. They are just that, toys and trinkets. Because in Christ, they are that. And in Christ, we are that. That should give us confidence. Of course, the question then arises from what I've just said. If Jesus has all authority and he is in complete control, why do we even need to fight? Like, what's the point? He's already won. The devil and the evil powers have been defeated and put to shame. Right? So you'd expect the world to be made right. And that's obviously not what we see. What we do see is Christ with all authority. We know that he is in complete control of all of it. But we also see his power moving slowly throughout the world like yeast works through the dough. In Matthew 13, Jesus compares the kingdom to a seed that's going to grow into a great tree, or like yeast that works slowly through the whole loaf. What we see is the process of all of God's enemies being made into a footstool for him. These evil powers are in process of being subdued through us. This is what God has revealed. He said, okay, believer, this is your situation. Here's your enemy. Here's you. And they're going to continue to be subdued until all of Christ's enemies are put under his feet as a footstool. And it's going to be done through believers, through the church. And the wisdom of God and the glory of his gospel is going to be paraded in front of them time and time again until everything has been made right. So Satan wants chaos and chains to cover the earth and dominate it. Christ wants order and freedom to cover the earth and Christian dominion. We have this. They are looking for complete domination. Chaos and chains. God has said to mankind, exercise dominion. Rule and set things right. Keep it ordered. And keep growing and keep going. Two very different things, but there is a battle that is still going, even though this is the case. And the battle keeps going often because we totally forget that. And we become afraid when we shouldn't. So we are called to demonstrate and establish the will of Christ upon the earth and so defeat the principles, principalities, and powers of this present darkness to confirm their shame and their humiliation. We are to triumph over them just as Jesus did. The cross is the great exorcism. So here's a line to remember. Jesus is seen. He is seen in the joy of his people and in the misery of his enemies. God wants this paraded. That truth. Paraded all over the earth. So Christ is seen in the joy of his people and in the misery of his enemies. So we're told here that even though Christ reigns, evil's still in the world, as we all know, obviously. It's still an evil day. Verse 13 talks about that, in the evil day. And we can see the effects of evil all around us, right? You just look at the news, you look at the world, and you see a lot of those same things happening. Murder, you see drug abuse, abortion, homosexuality, transgenderism. Religions that deny Christ are honored and respected. Atheism is allowed to deceive children in the public schools. You see rampant divorce, weak men, rebellious women, war, disease, disasters, greed, starvation, torture, killing of Christians, and on, the list is long. And the evil in this world is powerful. People suffer and are deceived, they're lost. From 2 Timothy 3, 1-5, mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful and proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. And all of those things that we just read, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, brutal, all of those things produce then the evil outcomes that we see in the world. Murder and abortion and rebelliousness, sexual rebellion and all the rest. It's those things that are in here that come out into the world in full display. Right? We see that. Our purpose in loving the truth, in loving the Lord, is also to produce action. This is the battle. And it's a spiritual battle, but the results of what's happening, of who is winning, domination or dominion, is seen when you look at the state of your home. It is seen when you look out your window and see your neighborhood, when you read the news, when you read the laws of the land. That's a big one. When you see who is ruling in this world, who is exercising dominion. The battle is spiritual, but the effects are very much physical. And the end result being the difference between heaven and hell. And this is our battle. Because the devil doesn't just want to take people captive. That's not what he's doing. Right? It says, 2 Timothy 2:25, that he wants to take them captive to do his will. He wants to take someone captive, not just to trap them, but so that then his will is done in the earth. And now we have murder and all of those types of things. He wants domination. He is seeking to captivate people, capture them, and make them do his will. And it plays out in the physical world. This is where we start to see what the devil is doing, those cosmic powers are doing. That's what he's after. And the same thing is for us on the other side. Christ died so that we would glorify him, so that we would do his will, that we would obey him. This is the battle. Here we go. It says God works in us to work and to will according to his will. So he doesn't just change our heart, but he changes what we actually do. There's going to be physical action in response to what God has done in our heart. The battle is spiritual, but it sees itself in the physical world. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So therefore, be free. We're not supposed to be just free and then live as if we're slaves. We're free, and so we're supposed to live like it's supposed to change the way we act. The purpose of spiritual warfare is always to produce a real response. Lies lead to death. Truth leads to life. Who will exercise dominion? That is why it is our battle to fight. Christ's enemies are being made a footstool through the church, right? The wisdom of God is being manifested as his enemies are subdued through the church. That's in real life. That's us. Through us. God says, I'm going to wield my power through you, and this is going to become real. You're going to live that out. And all of a sudden, little old me and little old you and little old Cornerstone is defeating cosmic powers and principalities. That's wild. That is wild. This is where the fruit reveals what is good and what is bad. By their fruit, you're going to know. And so this battle rages. Spiritual warfare always spills over into the physical world. So this matters to us. It matters for us, for our children, for our grandchildren. What type of world is being built Are we engaging? So we're called to live lives of faith here and now. Spiritual warfare is done in the power of God by the Holy Spirit, keeping in step with Him. And that always results in physical manifestations, good deeds, acts of love, righteousness, justice, order in the home, in men who love being men and are good at it, women who love being women and are good at it, who have submitted to the word in it, and is living out the wisdom of God. If God has made you a woman and He has defined, this is what a woman is, are you proclaiming that He is wise and good and right to have defined you that way? Is that what you love and pursue? Are you like, yes, Lord, let me show your wisdom to the world and the principalities and powers? Do we declare the wisdom of God or do we fight against it? It always comes out from the heart to the hands, from the heart to the hands, what we do. We don't need exorcisms, we need holiness. Romans 13, 12 to 14. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. Right here. Yes, we have. The day is at hand. So let us then cast off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime. Now he's talking physical stuff. Something's changed in my heart. And I'm going to put off the deeds of darkness. And I'm going to put on actual deeds of light. Walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. These are all physical manifestations of what's happening in someone's heart. He says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desire. Spiritual warfare comes right out of your hands, out of your lips. How you act. That's the call from the heart to the hands, from a new heart to physical obedience, exercising dominion, declaring the reality of what God has made and declared to be true. We echo that. And in so doing, we tear down arguments. And we walk as children of the light and we overthrow the principalities and powers as we proclaim their foolishness to fight against the Lord and His order. Satan wants chaos and chains. We see that all over the world. Christ wants order and freedom. That's our call. We make the power of God manifest when we use His power to overcome sin and establish righteousness. Paul says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. The deeds of the body matter. We're not just spiritual beings. We're physical. We have a soul and we have a body. And they are supposed to work together. And what God has done in our heart is supposed to come out of our hands. How we live. Not just what we think, but then what we do with that. And in that, we declare the wisdom of God and the truth. Whoever makes a practice of sinning, action, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And that he has done. And he has called us to live in this reality, in that truth. That's what he has done for us. So here's where we are. We're called to war. We're called to fight the cosmic powers of the darkness. That's just the plain instruction of the word. It's nothing weird or sensational. When you come across that verse, you wonder, like, what? That seems odd. And it's not odd at all. Christians have been moved from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And we are called to produce fruit in keeping with repentance, which means a change of thought and then a change of action, which means actual changes in the real world, from the heart to the hands. The world will change as Christians live in the light of what God has done and declared and called for us to do. You will see it. You will see it in your life, and you will see it in your home, and then it will extend to your neighborhood, and it will extend to the public square until the nations are brought into obedience. From the heart to the hands. So we don't have to be afraid. And we should never be lazy. We are called to engage. We've been given victory. More than conquerors we are. And so we engage because even though Christ reigns, it's still an evil day. There is evil. And there is a process of Christ's enemies being subdued. The yeast is working. The tree is growing. And we have the great blessing and the call to be a part of the process. In order to engage in this battle, we do it in the power of God. It's not our own ideas, not our own plans and ways. We put to death by the Spirit the misdeeds of the body. We resist the devil. We throw down arguments, expose lies. By the power of God, we establish Christ's reign on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we've been taught to pray. Our Lord said, pray for this. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it's not just a change here, but it's a change here. Lord, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We've been taught that. That should be our prayer, our desire, the focus of our labors. We long to see righteousness and holiness established upon the earth. That shouldn't be a controversial idea. We're called to live holy lives, establish our hearts, and from there, into all the world we go, and bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to every tribe and tongue, language and nation, expecting there to be a harvest, because God has promised there will be one. He's going to build his church out of all of them. It's going to go everywhere. There's no corner where his light won't reach, where people won't be changed, which means they will act differently, and by their fruit, we will see the manifest wisdom of God, and that will be beautiful. And this way of thinking should be normal, because this is the reality. But in some circles, at least in our time, that is maybe a little bit controversial, and I think that's because of two reasons. One, we have come to think that the official workings of the world, how things function out there, that should be neutral, should be secular, and that faith and religious beliefs should be kept private. And we've mixed up who's in charge. We have this myth of neutrality. Jesus claims authority over all of it. All of it. That means the public square, City Hall right there. Jesus rules over City Hall. And we shouldn't be timid. Often we think, the faith should just be kept private. We don't have a voice in the public square. And we've mixed up who's in charge, who's on the throne, and who has been given the task of exercising dominion. COVID was a recent example. And that's still controversial. It's always hard to talk about. Everyone gets really still when you mention COVID. And I'm going to mention it. Whatever you think should have happened, and it was a tough one. It was tough for me too. I was all over the place. That was not a fun time. Whatever you think should have happened, what was clear was that for many, both in government and in churches, they felt that the church had no business giving an opinion about what God's will was in the time of disease or pandemic. God didn't have anything to say. Right? That was trumpeted loud and clear. The word of God was not particularly applicable in times of trouble. And the church was not needed in the same way that the liquor mart was. Right? That was kept open. And the churches were shut down. And they didn't want to hear even an opinion otherwise. We were told by these experts that COVID would travel if we would be in here and we would pray together. But it didn't travel if you have hundreds of people on Main Street in the Black Lives Matter march. That was a little bit different and shouting in people's faces. Okay, I got some questions. I'm not a scientist, but I got some questions, but I wasn't allowed to ask those questions. Not as a Christian. The only thing the church was allowed to say was, do what the government says. And that was proclaimed far and wide. And again, no matter what you think about that whole situation, it was complex and complicated. I get it. I understand that, and I'm not here to make anyone feel bad. It was hard. But whatever you think, know for certain that God has a lot more to do with our day-to-day existence than he was given credit or glory for in that time by our society as a whole, by the world as a whole, for that matter. We must never forget that Christ has all authority on earth given to him. He has something to say. He is reigning. And that we need him at all times, at all places, at all levels, in all circumstances. Science and alcohol are lousy gods. Lousy gods. And yes, to be clear, and so far as we can, we are to submit to the government. Yes and amen. But Christ has all authority. That means over government. And we get that wrong sometimes. Second reason, some of this is controversial, as we expect that Christianity will kind of fail, that evil will grow and overcome. Somehow in our minds, we often have this idea that it is the darkness that is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, right? We kind of think that's where we're headed. The darkness is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And the people of God are going to get smaller. And the devil's power on earth is going to grow until finally Christ will return when there's just a handful of us left. And many people simply believe that we lose down here, even though the Bible says this is the reality. I think we've got to learn to think differently. So for myself, for me, I believe that when God told us to make disciples of all nations and teach them to obey Christ, that he intends for us to accomplish that. When he taught us to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, he wants to accomplish that. This is his kingdom. It's his kingdom, and he is growing it. And he does not command us to do something that he does not give us the grace to obey. It is strange to me that under the rule and reign of Christ that we are currently under, this rule and reign that we are under, that sometimes optimism of the future has become controversial. We live in a world, in a kingdom where it is promised to grow, to overcome, where the glory of God is going to cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. That's the promise. That's the promise. That's where we're headed. The glory of God is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. All his enemies are going to be made a footstool for him. The gates of hell are not going to prevail. If that is the reality in which we live, and it is, then I think we have every reason to be optimistic for the future. Of course, in the end, things may not look like I think they will, or you think they will. Only God knows the specifics of the future and how that's all going to work out. You see all kinds of ups and downs. People who went through World War II were quite certain that this was the end, and yet here we are. We think too narrow as the Lord establishes his kingdom. As that mountain grows from the vision of Nebuchadnezzar, remember? That mountain grows to cover the whole earth. As God brings and builds his kingdom, it goes up, 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 up. It's not just a straight line. There are valleys in between. And you hit a world war. And up you go. And a world war. And up you go. And up you go. Because that is true, and we're called to live in that victory. Christians should be optimistic and hopeful, even though we go through a time of suffering. Maybe we're in one of the valleys, and we have it hard. That doesn't mean that's how it ends. That's how it ends. And that is our call, to have hope, and hope that is not going to disappoint, however it's going to work out specifically in our life or in the future of the world. Only God knows that specific. I wouldn't speculate on that. But I know that whatever the end will be, the glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That is true. And right now we don't see that, and so we keep going. We don't see it. So in faith, in the strength of the Lord, in obedience, confidence, in a joy, it is our task to continue to overthrow those powers of darkness and their evil fruits in the world. We're not to be afraid of them. Jesus said, don't be afraid of those who can kill the body but do nothing to the soul. Perhaps we live in a dark time and we get persecuted. Jesus says, don't be afraid of them. Don't be. Why? Because that's true. That's where this whole thing is headed. One day we will be there. And our children. So we must never give up until the task is done. There's still work to do. God's will accomplished. And we keep going until he returns. And until that day, we press on in the power of God. It's us versus them. And we win. So let's rumble. God is calling you, ladies, to the front line to fulfill your part in declaring the great wisdom and glory of God. Next month, we're going to examine some more details, how we're going to defeat the evil powers. And it gets more specific as we move into how men and women are given are called to fight. So we're going to talk about that. We each have specific weapons for the battle. And in this fight of spiritual warfare, God calls you to the battle as well. Today was the battle call. I hope you heard it. I hope you heard hope and confidence and promise. I hope you heard that trumpet calling you loud and clear. I've been called. And I've been called to this. I have hope and confidence. Next month, you will receive your specific marching orders from the Word. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you, not just for the victory, but for revealing it to us, that we may not be afraid as we look at the darkness in this world. Lord, that we would be full of joy and confidence, knowing what it is that you are doing, knowing who is on the throne, that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. In all of it, Lord, would you strengthen our faith that we would walk as children of the light, no matter what you have for us, be it difficult times or easy times, times of deep challenge and valley or mountaintop joy. Whatever it is, Lord, may we be submitted to you. May we never lose our hope, our joy, or our confidence. But walking in the light and the power of the Lord, Lord, we would be continue to show your wisdom and declare your victory to all the nations, to the cosmic powers, that they would know of their complete and utter defeat. And would you be known in us by the joy of your people. Lord, we pray that you would continue to work this out in us, that we would walk by faith and not by sight, that we would think carefully according to your word, not with man-made ideas, but fully submitted to you. May the joy of the Lord be our strength. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.